This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. Our man in Shanghai, Rob Schmitz, has spent the past year or so working on a series about the people who make the Chinese economy run. People who live on a single street in Shanghai. It's called the Street of Eternal Happiness. They have been, Rob's stories have for the most part, stories of the present day, the modern Chinese economy. For today's piece, Rob opens up a shoebox full of letters from a local antique shop, all of them sent to an address on the Street of Eternal Happiness. Here's Rob.
30 years of letters between a husband and his wife. The husband in prison near Tibet. The wife raising 7 children on the Street of Eternal Happiness. Despite all of China's changes, the stucco townhome where they lived is still here. It's surrounded by dumpling stands, boutique fashion shops, swanky hotels, capitalism. 60 years ago, being a capitalist could ruin your life. A government song from the 1950s forecasted painful days ahead for those on the wrong side of communism. After communists took over China, they seized a silicon steel factory in Shanghai belonging to a man we'll call Wang Ming. The problem was, officials had no idea how to run the factory. A local official privately encouraged Wang to start a separate factory to help save the reputation of the government one. In a letter yellowed by time, Wang writes in the meticulous calligraphy of China's educated class, explaining what happened next.
After I built my own factory, the government sentenced me to prison for making money in an illegal way. I was sent here to Qinghai to be reformed.
It was 1,000 miles away. In a letter dated September 6, 1958, Wang's wife, Li Shuyun, writes to her husband that life at home is getting difficult.
Dear Ming, we've run out of money. I've had to sell a lot of our things to get by, but I've just found a job at a factory. The eldest daughters are taking care of the younger ones, so please don't worry. Work hard and accept your re-education. Becoming a new person is the only way out.
Re-education meant that Wang had to unlearn things like individualism and capitalism. Wang worked at a labor camp where prisoners were routinely beaten and starved. Wei Xiezhong, a retired professor in Nanjing, was a fellow inmate of Wang's.
The camp was in the desert. If you tried to escape, you'd die from exposure, so there weren't even any walls around it.
Wei remembers barely surviving China's famine in the early 60s. Tens of millions of Chinese starved to death.
I remember going out in the morning and seeing inmates too weak to work, leaning against the walls. After the sun went down, I'd come back and they were dead.
Back on the Street of Eternal Happiness, Li Shuyun continued to struggle. In a letter to her husband in 1964, she says she's so poor that she's had to give away their youngest daughter.
She was adopted by the family of a carpenter. Don't worry. Someday we'll be reunited, as long as you diligently study proletariat thought and get rid of your bourgeoisie ideas.
Proletariat thought, bourgeoisie ideas, the letters are full of these slogans. Wang and Li wrote these things to please government censors who were inspecting their mail. But in 1970, Wang ignores the lingo in a letter to his wife.
Dearest Shuyun, it's my fault that you're alone with all these burdens and responsibilities of raising our family. I feel so alone. Please send pictures of the family so my homesickness can be cured.
There are more than 100 letters between Wang and Li. They discuss how their 7 children are growing and changing, becoming adults and getting married without the guidance of their father. After reading all these letters, I began looking for Wang and Li's family. I start at their old home on the Street of Eternal Happiness. An elderly neighbor tells me they left years ago. The father died, she tells me, but the mother's still alive. She left China 5 years ago with her only son to go to America. I track down Wang Ming's son in New York City. Before he agrees to talk to me, the son asks that his family's real names not be used. He still has sisters back in China, and the family's been through enough political trouble as it is. Wang Jie is 56. He lives with his mother in the first floor of a house in the Chinese community of Flushing. Li Shuyun is now 87. She's suffering from Alzheimer's. Wang spent his life taking care of her. He never got married. Wang works at a factory, repairing cell phones. He earns minimum wage. It may not be the American dream, but Wang says he's okay with that.
After the hell my family's been through, this is heaven.
Wang tells me his father died 3 years ago. He spent his last years in a nursing home, which is odd in China, where it's customary for the children to care for parents at home as they die. Wang doesn't explain why. But when I ask him if he blames China's government for what happened to his father, he hints at how his family saw his father.
His salary was good and we could have all lived a stable life, but he was unsatisfied and wanted to make more. He should have known running his own factory was illegal.
Wang doesn't like to think about his life back in China, but one memory stands out. When Wang was 20 years old, his father was released from prison. Wang remembers going to the Shanghai train station with his sisters to pick him up.
The problem was we didn't know what he looked like, and he didn't recognize us either, so we missed each other completely.
After looking for some time, they went home and waited. It was on the Street of Eternal Happiness where he finally met his dad. Today, the family home has the same weathered red door and the same creaky stairs, but it's surrounded by a completely different China. The propaganda music from decades ago is gone. A street musician prefers to play songs from pre-communist China. I ask Wang about the letters. Would he like to see them? He doesn't even pause to think. No, he says. They weren't anything special, he tells me. Talk to any Chinese who lived through that time. We all have the same stories. He says his parents' letters should have been left in a trash can years ago on the Street of Eternal Happiness. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.